Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I have slowed it down. I've looked at every frame. I'm disappointed with the Big Sky Conference for not having more cameras available, and I'm disappointed with the handheld camera operator who should have been right on top of the goal line. And I thought Portland State won on Saturday. I watched that whole game. Bruce Barnum, Portland State coach, is here with us. How are your guys in the locker room after a loss like that?
I don't know how to describe that, Coach Canzano. I really don't. Stung, bit. I mean, think about it. We just played a game, played their asses off as a football team. And in the last minute, you've got, the wide world of sports. You got the thrill of victory twice. Not once. The right. Thrill of victory. And, I mean, and I talked about this with the team Sunday and today. And then you end up with the agony of defeat. I mean, are you kidding me? That's how they felt, if that makes any sense to anybody. But, you know, I talked to them. I went two routes with it after that. And that was crushing, you know. I went two ways. I told them, number one, that feeling you just had twice, not once, twice at the end of the game. You're young. I mean, we started more freshmen. You've had a FCS make money for your school, $1 million schedule versus, and we were playing, in my opinion, you know, your blue blood cupcake schedule team, and lost to the money game, yada, yada, but they're ranked, you know, because they played the right people. But you have to remember that feeling, because that's where we're going. That's where the program's going, and it's because of you. So I went there, and then I went to the old time machine, you know. Why are you in that moment? Why were we in that moment? We had opportunities to not be mad at the referees right now, not to be pissed how that game. We had opportunities to win that football game. So go back, change those, and there's a life, you know, talk life lesson. You had to throw everything at them because I had to bring them back. We had the game this week. I said, you're going to be in that situation again in life, you know, whether it's your spouse, whether you know, a thousand scenarios. And what got you to that argument? What got you to that bad spot, that moment that shit ain't working out? Something did, so bring him back, make the right decisions, and go. Anyway, sorry to ramble, but...
No, I saw one thing that it was a teachable moment, but I'm not a coach, you know, but, you know, you guys, you made so many great plays, but one of the big ones was you came up with a defensive stop and an interception with maybe a couple minutes to go in the game, and it kind of felt at that moment, I felt like your defense at that moment thought the game was over, you know, and they ran over to the stands, they were celebrating, and that some of that might be youth, right? And
yes.
And I thought, and I was thinking to myself, Coach, I was going, I hope they know they got another series, because, you know, whatever happens here, they're going to be back on the field here in a minute if UC Davis uses their timeouts right. And so I do think there's a lot of teachable moments in that. And but your kids played so hard, and I know what that meant to those guys. Like, that is a tough emotional thing. I saw you leaving the field and felt for you.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, we have another opportunity. So I had to watch. The only, you know, I don't like being interviewed probably more than most people, but this is the last day I have to relive it, you know. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad to talk to you about it. But they're all on the, you know, the next game. I'm like, you know, it's Tuesday. Here we go. But, you know, but when we're done with this, you're my, I think, I haven't seen the sheet. I think you're the last one of the day. I'm officially done with that crushing agony of defeat after this. Anyway.
All right, onward. Okay. You don't even have to wait because I'm moving on right now. Idaho State.
Wait. Time out. Yeah. Do people know? Some people might not know what happened.
Yeah.
Did you already tell them?
Well, I did, but I want to hear it from you. How would you explain it to people?
Well, two items. First, we thought game was over. Rushfield, because we stopped them. We stopped them on a drive. They put 1 second back on the clock. And this was interesting, John. I got sent a thing from the people. Oh, here was the official review. They showed me the TV copy with 1 second on it when the ball, it looked like the ball was, you know, on the ground. And my question was, well, is that connected to the clock I was looking at? Mm-hmm. You know, the game clock, the official, we're pretty sure it is. So that was kind of a root. And then the next play, so they got another play. The next play, scramble, quarterback right, five wides. We go three-man rush, everybody covering. Back end zone front is already triggering the quarterback so he doesn't run it in. They throw it to like a pin route to the pylon. And it appeared from our, you know, video kill the radio star announcers, he did not get in, but he got in. The guy standing at the line, you know, kind of looked around, checked the weather, looked over at me, and I'm making stuff up now.
I don't think he's in. Do you think he's in?
I watched every angle in America, and it doesn't matter what I think, but no, I think that ball, and again, it doesn't matter. We lost the game. And I'm on the team that wanted to win. So it looked to me like he's outside, you know, because he came back for the ball. My guy hits in the back, but it was a touchdown. They called it a touchdown, so it's a touchdown.
I am disappointed. I talked to the commissioner of the Big Sky, and I said, how many cameras were on the game? And he said the handheld camera was 3 yards deep in the end zone. That probably should have been on the goal line so they could get a good look at, you know, if somebody's in that situation, that's common sense. You want to be on the pylon or on the goal line. All right. You ready to leave it in the past? Or you want to talk about it a little bit more?
No, done. Scratched.
You know what happened, though? Afterwards, I'm in the parking lot, and I'm leaving. And I see Dante Sacheray, your quarterback, and he's sitting on the curb. And his mom's got his arm around him, and his dad is standing there with arms folded. And I was leaving. I was pulling out. And I know the kid. He's been on the show. I saw him, and he looked up, and I just put my car into park. I got out of the car. I walked over. I gave him a hug. I told him, keep playing, and got back in the car and drove away. It was all I could say. They had glassy eyes. You could tell how much it meant to those guys.
It did. They just left my office, you know. We're talking about this week, and I went through last game with them to end it for him. And he goes, when the hell are you going to end it? I said, I got one more with Canzano, and then it's over. That was my team. What you saw was my team. But you know what? It was different. Got in the locker room afterwards, and the team, it wasn't like the week before, John. The week before at Tennessee, I'm like, something has to be done here. So I didn't lose them. You know what I mean? You could tell the frustration, et cetera, et cetera. So reshuffle some cards. And after this game, there was a confidence in the locker room. I have no doubt how they're going to play. I have no doubt how my team is going to play this week. That was pretty cool to see.
I'm excited to see how you guys do play. You go to Idaho State. What do you see on film when you look at Idaho State?
Hanging goalpost, the last hanging goalpost in America. First college dome ever made.
Oh, that's right.
Orange seats. It looks like Halloween. It should be a Halloween game. The inside of the arena looks like a Halloween deal. I haven't been there for a while. But flat field, no wind, you know. They have some dynamic players. They play hard as hell. They play well at home. I've been there before. You know, it's not the abyss of walking into northern Arizona has a dome as well. And it seems like there you need some laser lights or a disco ball for light. At least Holt Arena, the one we're going to, has some light. You know, you can see in there, and it's a football field when it's said and done. they throw the ball a lot. You know, they want the ball gone quick. Kind of similar to what we saw last week a little bit. You know, they're from kind of the same genre. I don't think that's a football word. That's more of a movie word. But
it's okay.
The coaches match up. The coach that's at Idaho State now came from there. And actually the other one, Dan Hawkins, who you probably run across, I'm guessing, it's his kid. And he's there as well. He's there as an assistant now. So it's similar to what we saw last week, if anybody saw the game.
I think, you know, is Hawk still hanging around his kid? Like, or is he coaching somewhere else now? I haven't looked that up.
Oh, no, he's there. He's there.
He's
Dan
there
Hawkins,
with him.
The father,
yeah.
Who you know has been in Colorado, Boise.
Yeah.
He is, I don't know what they name him. I just know he's there. His
advisor.
Kid is the head coach.
He's an advisor.
Yeah, I don't know what he does. Special teams, advisors, probably try to raise money and all that. I don't know. But he's there with his son.
The Ashton Gentry, the guy that
you'll know him as number two.
That's the guy that you know as number two. He is now the betting favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. How about that?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Good for him. That's legit. I agree with that. You know, I agree with that. I saw what he can do in just a quarter's work, you know, and I got home right after our game. I'm at home. I'm just, you know, all right, what do I do? A friend calls me up. I think he felt bad. Hate it. What are you doing? I said, leave me alone. He goes, I'm bringing over pizza. I had like one bite. Anyway, I turned that game, I DVR games. I was mad because a couple weren't on there. I don't know how to push the right darn buttons.
Thank you.
But the Utah State game was on, so I turned it on. And the first time, did you see that play? First time they get the ball.
Yes.
Two runs through them like, you know, it's at your camp, and one of my guys is running the ball. And I'm like, what are you doing here? Anyway, he's impressive. He's impressive. What's his competition? I don't even know. You know.
Travis Hunter.
Did you say you had a vote?
I have a vote. You know, I'll tell you a story, too, that you'll love. So I have a vote. I take it very seriously. Right now, Travis Hunter is probably Colorado two-way guy is probably in that mix.
Yeah, he's dynamic.
The issue is there's, and it opens the door for a guy like number two, Gentry, because there's no dominant team out there right now that is like clearly the best team in the country, and here's their best player. And so I think it's the kind of year where a guy like Gentry could win it. Like, you know, people know who he is. He's driving his own campaign. He's doing, you know, he looks like Marshall Faulk and Barry Sanders when he's out there running around. But, here's a great story. Paul Bucher, who used to work at the paper, used to have the Heisman vote. And he one year voted for Portland State's quarterback years ago in the Pokey Allen era. And they stripped him of his vote after he voted.
Really?
For the quarterback at Portland State. But he said, hey, he's the best player I saw. So Paul Bucher, love that guy.
Well, what do you do? Here's one for you, because I've seen the Heisman. I've been to the club downtown. I mean, it's a big deal in our sport. Explain it, and your viewers are probably, you know, what the hell is Martin asking now? What, in your vote, what is it? Is it the best player? Is it the best player for his team? Is it the one that wins the most games? I've wondered that piece before. Or is it the most, this guy can be on a one-win team, but he's the best player. Do the wins come in? I've always wondered that for the people. I mean, you got power, Canzano.
Yeah.
You kidding me? What? I mean, that's power to have a vote for that. Does that matter if they win games?
It shouldn't. It's not part of the criteria, but it does.
It's not.
It does matter, though, because when you look at who has won the award, you can go back like 40 years. There's not a player who has won the award that has been on a team that has lost more than three games. So 9-3 is kind of the marker. And then it becomes what? It becomes a quarterback or maybe a running back. Or in a rare year, a receiver or a defensive player who's on a really good team, who gets, you know. But the truth is, I'll be honest with you, I have not gone with the crowd. Penei Sewell, who was the left tackle for Oregon in the Mario Cristobal era,
yeah.
I put Panay on my ballot one year because I was like, he might be the best player in the country. And, you know, and he ended up at a high draft pick. Last year I had Michael Penix at Washington, number one. I had Jaden Daniels second. I had Bo Nix third. That, you know, they're all quarterbacks. They were all for teams that won a bunch of games, except for Daniels' team didn't win that many games. But you got to go 9-3 and be on a good team and be the best guy on that team.
That's has it ever been a non-skill position?
There have been, defensive players who won the Heisman. And Jack there Rammer? also, hold on a second. You know, Paul Hornig, the Notre Dame quarterback or halfback.
I know Paul.
He's the only player to ever win on a losing team. And how about them apples? Charles Woodson won. Charles Woodson won as a defensive back.
DB.
And I want to say Mante Teo was second. But Charles Woodson's, I think, the only primarily defensive player to win the award. Like, he's the only guy that clearly was a defensive player. So,
all right.
There you go.
All right. That's interesting. You know, it's all about the numbers. It's all about
when I go to do my vote, should I ask you, since you're watch DVRing all these games, maybe we'll have you on, have you do kind of who would be on your ballot?
I went in to watch Alabama
and Vanderbilt.
Before that, who was the week before that?
The Georgia game?
Alabama-Georgia. I go home excited as a two-year-old on Christmas morn. I turn it on, and I'm like, I go through all the games taped that day. It's like 5% left, and there's no Alabama-Georgia. And I was like, are you kidding me? So I just started erasing them out of pure frustration. You know, if you push recall, they go away. Anyway, I haven't even seen that game, but we can get it on the web deal, the cloud. So I'll watch them all, but it'll be at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But no, don't ask me. I don't watch it enough to. Yeah. No.
Oh, you have an opinion. How about this? Louis Tiant passed away today at the age of 83.
No way.
Big leg kick.
Are you kidding me?
You remember Louis? Yeah, he died today.
I watched Louis play here in He pitched in Portland.
Yeah, he had a big history here.
I went and watched him when he came back down to the Beavers. I made it a trip.
1964.
I mean, he was unique. He died. Somebody else died, I saw.
P. Rose died the other day.
No, it was somebody else, too.
Okay.
It just happened, like yesterday.
Louis Tiant threw a no-hitter in Portland and then came within one out of throwing a second no-hitter in Portland.
Yeah,
so it was...
I'm a Tiant fan. That stuff I know. He was just unique how he kicked his foot, and you know. So I was one of those high school guys, right? I was all I could do was hit, but they made me pitch. They had me pitch, you know. And I early on, you know, young, you know, copy the superstars. I tried that stuff on the mound. I was all over the place. Almost fell down. And every time I kicked, dirt would fly off my shoe. So I'd be watching the dirt, you know, and try to throw a strike. It was a shit show. It didn't work. But you know, I was a fan of Louis Tiant.
I asked my dad. You know, my dad hit a home run off Louis Tiant in spring training.
Really?
And so I asked my dad. I texted my dad today. I said, "Rest in peace, Louis Tiant." And the text back was, "Special guy." He liked him. You could tell.
Did he know him, or
he
did
knew
he,
him as he was an opposing player in the minor leagues, and then in spring training they faced each other because my dad was in the Mets organization, and I guess they were in Florida with the Red Sox. So
no, that's cool beans. That's cool stuff.
Yeah, so he's always said, I had the pleasure of hitting a home run off Louis Tiant. So he's got that. Didn't make the big leagues, but that was something I grew up hearing about.
That's a Getting Blue moment. Have you ever read that book?
No. Tell me about it.
Getting Blue, I think it's called.
Okay.
It's just how everybody in life, everybody listening and beyond, there's not many beyond, but... You always have at least one moment, and the book's called, I think it was called Getting Blue. You have one moment where it's everything. You know, life is perfect, you did something great, and it's the top of the heap. Pretty, I mean, it's a quick read. It's nothing. It's like It's only like a 100 miles on the bus. It's not much.
All right. I'll pick it up.
Anyway, it's a sports book. I think that's them. That was many moons ago.
So we're looking for a Getting Blue moment for Portland State football against Idaho State on Saturday.
Yeah, we're looking for a W and whooping their ass. That's what we're looking for. But I like today's practice. Anyway,
let's keep that off the bulletin board. Okay. If Idaho State's listening, I had one of your fellow Big Sky coaches who slipped into my direct messages after Saturday's game because I had tweeted, you know, and written, "Hey, I thought the officials got it wrong." Fellow Big Sky coach, not going to tell you who, said, "I feel sick for Barney. Didn't look like a touchdown to me."
Yeah, it was interesting. There's been three so far. They wanted to know who the crew was.
Yeah.
Because when they come, when they're signed to their game, they want to bust on them about what they did to Barnum. I said, all right, here's who they were. Because they give you a card, you know, with all their names on it.
Yeah, I could tell the referee was, when he was looking into the monitor, he was saying, I need another angle. And I knew at that moment that you guys were in trouble. Because I think he wanted to overturn it if he could see it.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Anyway, water under the bridge.
Not to make you relive it. Yeah, it's over. All right, when you hang up, it's over.
When I hang up this damn phone, I'm going to slam this sumbitch down.
Let's hear it. Go ahead. You hang up on us. Go ahead.
Can you hear if you do that?
Yeah, go. Do it.
All right, this is easy because it's the office phone. It's not my cell phone, which okay. I bought one of them protectors.
This is Bruce Barnum putting a painful loss behind him. Go ahead.
Here we go.
And that was that. Leave it here.